Hey guys, it's Pastor Jeff Durbin with Apologia Church, Apologia Radio, and Studios. I'm here to talk to you today about Summer White. Yes, Summer White, the offspring of Dr. James White. She has a wonderful, delicious new show and website. You can go to sheologians.com. Check her out. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Make sure you guys rate it. Leave a comment. Let people know about this amazing show with Summer White and Joy Temby, the girl from Apologia Radio. That's right. Two classy, wonderful, Jesus-loving women talking about solid theology, talking about God and the world. You don't want to miss it. Sheologians.com is where you go. And don't forget, if you're blessed by the ministry of Sheologians, Summer White and Joy Temby, make sure you guys help it happen. Go to patreon.com/sheologians. patreon.com/sheologians. Offer some monthly support. If you love solid theology and ladies, you should support the ministry and the work of Sheologians. It's two ladies talking about the Lord, the Word of God, and the world. It's a study of God. They're talking about amazing things. And sometimes they even talk about feminism. And they critique that in light of God's word. So it might just be a study of the grave. That was actually a theological nerd joke right there. Some of you guys may have caught it. You might want to catch up. It was pretty good. So if you love the ministry of Summer White and Joy Temby, you should support at patreon.com/sheologians. They would be blessed. We would be blessed. We would be grateful. Continue to pray for the work and the ministry at sheologians.com.
Have you had your soup today?
And the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is. Welcome to another episode of Sheologians. We're here to put the she in sheep herder. I don't want to hear any pastor jokes about that.
Right.
I'm not your pastor.
It has she in it.
It has she in it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I like to do outdoorsy things. Nope. I hate the outdoors.
That's a pretty big hobby of mine, sheep herding.
Yeah.
Know a lot about it.
Right. Well, I'm here with my co-host. She is a poetic, noble land mermaid, and her name is Joy.
It is. And I'm here with my co-host, Summer, who is a cerebral and poised space octopus.
Can I get that tattooed on me or something?
You could.
I could.
Because
nothing.
nothing. Mind your business.
So it's the day I've been waiting for. I just got to say, I have had some of my favorite people on our show.
Right.
Like Emily Thumbs and Rebecca Merkel.
Emily Thumbs.
And today we get to talk to Zach Bolin from Citizens and Saints.
We do.
And they are one of my favorite bands. Highly recommend their new album, A Mirror Dimly, I think came out in September.
It did, yeah.
And it's awesome. So I wrangled them and worked really hard. No, I really just like sent one tweet and was like, hey, please come on my
show. Still works because he's here.
Right, right. So it all worked out. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I'm so glad that you're here. This is happening. I've been actually telling people for weeks about it, and I look like a total flake. So thanks.
But it just, I think it just built up
excitement.
Anticipation for it.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
Let's keep them going.
Yeah.
Right. We should just never release this episode.
We're just going to keep it.
Just be like,
that.
We have it. But will you ever hear it?
Never. Nope. Maybe.
You release a few seconds every
Right. You only get this many seconds of Zach Bolin. Yeah. Okay, so about 2 or 3 years ago, I never listened to Christian music, like, my whole life. I actually wasn't allowed to listen to Christian radio growing up. So I think
I like that already, but I don't know the reason. So
right, well, I don't know if you know who my dad is, but he was like, nah, this is bad, don't listen to it. So about 2 or 3 years ago, I decided, nah, I want to find Christian music, and I had two requirements. The first one is that it was not Hillsong, and the second was that it was not on Christian radio. And that is when I found you.
Whoa. Well, that we definitely fit those two criteria.
Yes, you do. So can you, I know where you come from and I know what you guys do, because I'm a diehard obnoxious fan. I came from like a very Frozen Chosen background, but
okay.
When I listen to your version of There Is a Fountain, I usually turn into just like the most crazy hand raiser. It's actually like dangerous. It's like dangerous driving that I engage in.
Oh boy.
All your fault. So anyway, just tell people who don't know, mm-hmm. the poor people who don't know Citizens and Saints, who you are and where you came from.
Yeah. So, when I moved to Seattle with my family, I was hired as the worship director at Mars Hill Church in Seattle. And I was at the, we were at the college campus, which is right by University of Washington. And that's really where I met everybody in the band within the first like week, I think. So the band started probably about 2 weeks after being there. And since none of us had really written together or really had a whole lot of musical, we didn't know each other, and
right.
which is already hard enough just getting people together that you don't know to make music, but it made it even harder given the fact that none of us listened to the same kind of music.
Right.
Which is still intriguing to me, because we all still don't. Mm. But that being said, the easiest thing for us to do is just to start arranging hymns. And so
right.
that's what we did. That's where we started. And then as time went on, Mars Hill had just hadn't released a whole lot of records. So they got a decent amount of people tuning in to sort of the live recordings that bands would put up from the different bands at the church. And our recordings were getting a lot of traction of like hymn arrangements of Amazing Grace and Be Thou My Vision and Nothing But the Blood and, yeah. and Tenderness.
Rightly so.
Yeah, so people started listening to those, and then some people at Marshall thought we should make a record, so we did.
And the rest is history?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's probably more history in there that people, I don't know if they need to know or not.
Right. I'm sure they can find it if they want.
Yeah, I mean, you can just type in Marshall yeah. Church,
it'll,
Seattle.
It'll be there.
Google, and you'll get all the education you need.
Right, right.
What is your favorite hymn?
Oh, great question. I think my favorite hymn is either It Is Well or Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
Solid.
And I think my reason for liking It As Well is I really love the story.
Right.
And how that, I just, in general, as like a person who just loves music, I just love songs that are written out of heartbreak.
Right.
And out of suffering. So It As Well connects that for me. And Nothing But the Blood, I just love how simple it is. I can sing that song with my kids, and there's something about it that really, I think, is really beautiful when you think about the cross. And so I sing that one with my kids a lot.
Right. That's awesome. Okay. So here's the question, actually, I really, really have been wanting to ask you.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. Here it is. And here's my theory. I have strong feelings about the state of Christian art in general and the label Christian music. And I'm not a musician, so I would imagine you probably have feelings about it too. So when I, you know, when I see you guys on social media, when I see, you know, King's Kaleidoscope on social media, it reminds me a lot, and I hope this isn't offensive. It reminds me kind of like your fan base, your following, what your shows look like, they feel like. I haven't been able to make it one to one yet. You don't come to Phoenix enough. Just side note.
I know. It needs to happen. I'm sorry.
Just side note. Let's make that happen. It reminds me of, oh man, I hope this isn't offensive. It reminds me of kind of like the bands that come out of Tooth and Nail.
Uh-huh.
A little bit.
I don't think that should be offensive.
Okay.
At all.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not offended yet.
Okay. I don't know Zach. So maybe he's like, oh, that's the worst. I don't know.
Okay.
Takes a lot.
It reminds me of that. You know, you've got this following that's like just crazy about what you guys are doing. And as far as I'm concerned, I think what you guys are doing is filling a real void in Christian music. And to my knowledge, you're not really played on Christian radio. Whatever that means. I don't know if that's the case or not. Maybe in Seattle you are. I don't know. But kind of what are your thoughts on that? Like, you're a Christian musician. You're making specifically Christian music. You're not going to be on Christian radio, but you do have this like very loyal, very serious fan base. So what do you think of all of that?
Oh man, that's a good question. So I think that our band is pretty niche in that, because we started off as a church band, a lot of people listen to us, because maybe they were worship leaders or song leaders at their churches. And people, I think, enjoyed, you know, people that are not that enjoyed the music too. But I think initially that was kind of the category we got put into, was a worship band. And I'm not crazy about that title, but that's right for another day. That's more of a semantics thing for me, but regardless, sure. I think that's one part of it that kind of puts us in this sort of niche category. The second part is, as you mentioned, like, we're not really a radio band. We did have one song that did pretty well on Christian radio, and we weren't trying to make that happen. This one station asked to start playing the song, and then a bunch of other stations followed suit. And then, they kind of just didn't want to play our music anymore. And we weren't offended by that at all. I mean, like I said, we were never gunning for that. Mm. And now I find myself more and more just trying to disassociate myself as much as possible with sort of the Christian music culture. And a lot of that's just because,
yeah. Tell us why.
Yeah. I had this realization recently, that at first kind of made me sad, but then I think God really just gave me a renewed confidence in what we're trying to do. And it's just, and it was realizing that, you know, we go and play these shows and it's so rare that people would even show up that don't know Jesus. And even this new record, I mean, so much of this record I put a lot of time into trying to articulate my story, in the same way I would talk about it to someone who does not know God. So just trying to like remove cliches as much as possible and just like talk about it. You know, that's kind right. of was my hope with this new record with Amir Dimly. And I think what I'm realizing more and more is that Citizens is almost like the hand or the foot of the body, you know, what, pick a body part. We're just like a part of the body, and we're not trying to be an authority in people's church or lives. We're not trying to be leaders necessarily. We're just trying to be participants in the body and writing songs and telling stories about what God is teaching us. And if those songs and stories wind up being helpful in the church for corporate singing, then that's great. But that's certainly not the main focus for us. In the end, it's just to just talk about God and talk about the ways that we are learning how loved we are and how to love him more. And I am just seeing for myself as an artist that I still have a strong desire to want to just be around people that don't know God as well. As a Christian, I think that should be something all of us desire.
Right.
And so, which I mean is disciple, being a disciple, right? And so I think that, you know, in the future, I put out a solo record last year, but other music projects and all of us will probably continue to do that aren't necessary, that have no affiliation with the Christian market. And that's why it's okay for me to just be like, we're not trying to build an empire with Citizens. We're not trying to become something huge. We're completely content with all the people that like our music right now. We're content with that number of people, whatever that is, you know, like it's not like we're trying to grow that number. And so it just brings us a lot of joy knowing that this is meaning, this music means something to people.
Right.
That number does not matter to me, you know, because then, you know, a couple months ago we played a show in Columbus, Ohio, and a girl showed up, didn't know, wasn't a Christian. And she's telling Spencer, one of the guys in the band afterwards, like, you know, I showed up, my friend and I didn't even, you know, I was just coming because she wanted to be here, not a Christian. And then you started playing your record. We play our whole new record live. And she just said, you know, I just started to cry. And I was like sobbing, sitting in the back of the, you know, like sitting down in the back against a wall.
Wow.
And then I started sharing the story about my own wrestling through doubt and faith, and how that's just completely interconnected, and how sometimes as you know, in the Christian subculture, we sort of like create this, we just create these distinctions that I don't think are very helpful, because we sort of, we forget about the fact that we're all human beings.
Right.
We all still feel the same things, and we all still wrestle with a lot of the same things, you know. The
right.
difference for me as a Christian, or you guys, would be we have hope in God. And that is something that some people will choose to believe in and some people don't. Regardless, it doesn't change that we have humanity and our human nature in common. And I'm sharing all that, and she just like comes up to Spencer afterwards and is like, I just was crying the whole time, and I think I'm a Christian now.
Wow.
It was just like,
wow.
Whoa, that's really heavy for
right,
someone
yeah.
just to articulate it like that. Not as a, we get people sharing stories like similar to that a lot, but never at a show, and never, I think I'm a Christian now. You know, it's like
right.
clearly the Holy Spirit is like speaking to her through this music in some really special way.
Right.
And that kind of stuff really motivates me to do what we do. And just
right.
realizing that, I think for a lot of people, our songs are more or less just helpful and encouraging
yeah.
and hopefully provides like language for people to be able to talk about, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
about their faith with other people, whether that's a Christian or not a Christian.
For sure. I know that when I first got this last album, A Mirror Dimly, that song Day by Day, like there were, I had a rough couple of weeks, and I would wake up in the morning, and I'd have to get up and get going and get ready. And I would just play Day by Day over and over while I was getting ready, because it was just so encouraging. And it was like exactly how I felt, and exactly like the right amount of like conviction and encouragement. Mm. And I love that about you guys. Love that about Kings, because it's like real life music that has the gospel in it. And I think it's evident in what you guys are doing that you want to glorify God with your art. You're not trying to get on Christian radio. You're not trying to, like you said, necessarily grow your audience. I think it's so evident like where your guys's focus is, and it totally comes out in your music. And I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. That means a ton. And even hearing that Day by Day was meaningful to you in that way. I mean, I'm just convinced more and more that I think the reason why people like maybe you guys like fit into the category of not really liking Christian music is just because it feels like it doesn't have a heart and a soul.
Yeah.
And I just think that, you know, art on its like most basic level is it's so attractive because it's somebody bearing their heart and their soul. It's
right.
like them giving you a window into like some aspect of who they are, and you as the person who is engaging with it have the choice to either say it's good or it's bad, or I like it or I don't, or it moves me or it doesn't. And so
right.
I think that I'm just more and more convinced that as Christians we should value that more than like we of all people should value that so much, because we know we have this knowledge of who we are and what we're capable of doing, and that's terrible things.
Yeah.
But knowing that we have a God who loves us still,
right,
and continues to remind us of that. To me, that's like my story I'm telling every day. That's the story you're telling every day, whether you're telling a bunch of people or not. That's a story people need to hear, because that's you. That's who you are.
Right.
And so I think our art should reflect that.
Yeah, absolutely. So before, well, this is a fluffy question, actually. We've been too serious. Okay, that was serious.
Great.
We're done being serious.
That was awesome.
Turn that off. Okay, yeah. Woo, that's enough. You said earlier that when the band first was meshing, there were just so many different, you all are very different musically. If you could pit the two most opposite influences in the band, what would it be?
Musical influences?
Yes.
I really hope
Vanilla Ice pops up in here somewhere.
There is no Vanilla Ice. I would say the two biggest are one of the guys in the band, like, really still really loves metal.
Okay.
And pretty much most of us don't really get into it at all.
You got to name him. We have to know.
That would be Nate.
Okay.
Furtado.
Okay.
He's often like wanting to do this, like, it's kind of funny because he is like traditionally like a very punk style bass player. And sometimes he tries to do something different and it's kind of like, we kind of like laugh at him a little bit. Cause we're like, dude,
you gotta go with it.
You gotta be you. You do you. And then I'd say on the flip side of it all, like, one of my favorite bands is the Cardigans.
Okay.
Their second and third records have been profoundly instrumental for me as a songwriter. And I'd say the same is for Spencer and Brian in the band. So, I mean, I bet Nate's probably never even listened to that record. And there are probably plenty of metal records. Bands I've never even heard of before.
That's so awesome.
So it's a pretty funny, like, meshing of sounds coming together, which is why I think we sound the way we do.
Yeah. Well, it comes out just fine.
Right.
Well, that's good to hear then.
There's a complimentary thing happening. Yes. Obviously.
Yes.
That's great.
Okay, so I'm usually in charge of the, like, fluff questions because this is just how my mind works, and I wonder these strange things about people.
She does.
Okay, so by the time this episode airs, it is going to be post-Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to know how you enjoy your Thanksgiving leftovers.
Mm.
Oh, that's so easy.
All right.
And most people know exactly how they prefer them.
I can tell you exactly.
Here we go.
Okay, so I am a huge fan of, and there is a, I grew up on the East Coast, and there's a restaurant that does this, but or a sub shop, and I have just, I'm just a huge proponent of it, and that's turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, all on a roll.
Ooh.
Right. Like a
sign me up.
Thanksgiving sub sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a day after Thanksgiving sandwich. They call it the Bobby. I'm not sure why, but
Bobby.
I love that. And so I'm pretty big on, like, yeah, we should buy a few extra pounds of turkey.
Right.
I'm going to want to make one of those.
Where on the East Coast? You don't sound very East Coast-y.
I don't know. I've lost. Well, I grew up in Maryland. Okay. What do I sound like, actually?
I mean, you sound like you're from Seattle, but I don't mean that in a bad way.
I've become a Seattleite then, I guess.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Maryland, and then I lived in Georgia for 8 years.
Oh, where in Georgia?
Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was up in Atlanta for a while.
Oh, yep. And then my wife is from Kentucky.
Okay.
And she's slowly losing her accent, but it's still there. There's still enough little... It's enough to where my kids will make fun of it sometimes.
Where in Kentucky is she from?
She's from Louisville.
Oh, okay. All right. See, our pastor's wife is from Bowling Green.
Oh,
and she has lost her accent for the most part.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if she ever goes and visits her family and comes back,
it's there.
Yeah. It's back. The accent's back.
And she still cooks with a lot of butter. So you can't take that out of a girl.
I like butter. I love butter.
Thanksgiving's perfect.
Right. Then. You know what? My Thanksgiving leftovers, I just throw them on a plate in the microwave. Like, I'm so boring.
That's also an acceptable way to enjoy your
It's so your boring, leftovers. Though. It's like, it's so vanilla, and I like it that way.
Right.
So.
Well, it's, you know, it's helpful, too, if it's been made really well, you know, leftovers is going to be a welcomed treat. So that's how I feel. Like, my wife, she just... Being from Kentucky, she knows how to cook. So we're doing all right.
That's amazing. I think I'm going to try this year to, like, make tamales out of my leftovers. Is that gross?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
That could be interesting.
Put some masa around it and like
choose your own adventure.
I'm choosing my Arizona Walmart tamale adventure. You know, they sell like people will come up to you. You're not from around here. People will come up to you in like Walmart parking lots and like they'll be like, "Do you want a dozen tamales?" And I don't know them from Adam, and I'm just like, "Take all my money, like please
give me the tamales."
They're not really selling tamales around here a whole lot.
No,
at least you know,
right?
You know, in the
well,
back alley,
if you like, got it like together and visited Phoenix, I would make sure that you had Phoenix tamales from the creepiest
parking lot.
From the creepiest parking lot that I could find.
Oh, great. I'm in. Let's do it.
All right, Zach. Well, leave us with leave our listeners with one encouragement for maybe someone out there who wants to glorify God with their art, maybe an artist, maybe a songwriter, maybe a writer. What would you say to them if they want to produce art, they want to put it out, they want to glorify God? Where do they go?
Just make it. You love, and you know, love what you make. I say it all the time. I think about it all the time, because I think part of making art is it has sort of a selfishness component to it that if that could be righteous at all, I don't know. But I think you really have to love what you do and believe in it. And I also think like, don't just make art for one group of people, like be an artist and make it for anybody to receive it, and know that too, not everybody will love it.
Right.
But I think for me, that's been the most helpful thing, is when people don't love it, it motivates me not to want to make what they'll love, but it actually makes me want to just keep making that.
Yes.
You know,
I love
it. I just don't care.
You're so ornery. That's why you're fitting in around here.
Everyone's got to be a little contrary.
A little contrarian. Awesome.
Well, hey,
thank you so much for taking time out of your holiday week to talk to us.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And
yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate it. I'm really grateful for what you girls are doing. It's it's really pretty special.
Thank you so much.
This is awesome.
I'm going to just go die happy now. This is amazing. All right, Zach, you have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You as well.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
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 Well, that was awesome.
Yes.
I'm so glad we got to have him on.
I got a little emotional there when he was talking about just art and loving people. And
right.
I don't know. Sometimes I just like get a little charismatic and just I have feelings and stuff.
Right.
Totally not what Calvinistic people do usually. So I appreciate that he broke me out of my bubble a little bit. I got kind of emotional.
Feelings are okay. Especially
are they?
When it comes to art.
Oh, okay. No, that's a good point. Okay. We'll talk about it another time.
Yeah. Feelings, I think we're both a little like averted.
Yeah.
We have an aversion.
I have an aversion. I do have an aversion. Anyway.
We will deal with that with our therapists. So anyway, thank you guys for listening. And if you are listening for the first time, you can hear the rest of our episodes on iTunes or SheilaLegends.com. Yeah, you can subscribe.
Yes.
You can rate us and comment. You can also go to SheilaLegends.com to listen to us. And also through our website, you can find us on Patreon, which is how we receive support and do this show.
Yes.
That's how this show happens. Or patreon.com/Sheilogens.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
So we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you guys. Enjoy. And we hope you had a great thing.
Bye.